Welcome to the Danny Klinkscale Reasonably Irreverent Podcast. Insightful and witty commentary, probing interviews, and detours from the beaten path.
Welcome to Danny and Stan's Football Weekend. It's brought to you by ASFCA. That's Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. I'm going to be over in Boston this weekend, so I'm going to miss my regular Friday appointment, and I will miss it indeed. And I can look forward to another Friday that I'll be going there and feeling good about my back, about my knees, everything else that they take care of at Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. 8 locations around Kansas City. Listen to the spots you hear during the course of this podcast and make yourself feel better. Well, there's a lot of feeling better, a little bit of feeling not so good in this particular mix as the Chiefs are winners. And once again, they kind of fiddled around a little bit, but they won rather easily. Kansas State is headed to the Big 12 championship game. They handled the Sunflower Showdown with aplomb, and now Kansas is kind of looking ahead themselves to a bowl game and what they can get out of that after a sort of limp to the finish as far as their season is concerned. And, of course, the weekend started on Friday with the Missouri Tigers punching their ticket to a bowl game, and they did it in very exciting, nail-biting fashion and won a close game, which hadn't exactly been part of their resume. All things that we can dive into, along with some other stuff as well, with Stan Weber coming up next. It's Danny and Stan's Football Weekend. It's brought to you by Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Happy to be joined once again by Dr. Brad Woodall from Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. And my wife has had tremendous success in dealing with her neuropathy through the treatment here at ASFCA. And that is a common thing.
Neuropathy is a challenging symptom for most patients out there. They feel the tingling, the burning in different parts of their body, most commonly the feet. But what many people don't know is that chiropractic, acupuncture, and some new treatments under red light therapy, low laser therapy, and class 4 cold lasers can make significant differences. And living with it doesn't have to be an option. When these new state-of-the-art tools are coming out, our Trifecta bed, we're one of the first in this area to have it, and we really are excited to share it with patients.
And you can learn more about this and perhaps improve the quality of your life. And if you've got neuropathy, this is the place to come. Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. And to learn even more, visit asfca.com/Danny.
Enjoy all the excitement of football season at the 23rd Street Brewery. From the Jayhawks and college football to the NFL and even live-streamed Lawrence High and Free State football games, you can watch it all at the 23rd Street Brewery. Enjoy the games with your favorite menu item like the Bill Self mac and cheese, naked nachos, or the Haney turkey stack. And wash it all down with your favorite beer like a Wave the Wheat or Crimson Fog. 23rd Street Brewery on the corner of Clinton Parkway and Castle in Lawrence.
Cinematic Visions has been an affordable solution for professional media production in Kansas City since 2003, offering award-winning video production and creation, as well as a wide array of digital and social media management services. From planning, scripting, filming, editing, and post-production, to delivering your product to a watching world, Cinematic Visions will provide professional and affordable services for you and your business with the necessary return on investment to make it all worthwhile. Cinematic Visions' goal is to unlock the power of storytelling through video and a strong online presence for your company. Beyond the numbers, they want to inspire and evoke your clients to feel and act. Let my friends at Cinematic Visions embed your brand where it belongs, in your customers' minds. You can find them online at cinematicvisions.com or with a quick phone call at 816-600-6300.
If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at danny@dannyklinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Welcome back, Danny and Stan, with you to talk some football. And Stan, 26-10, Kansas City Chiefs. They win this game easily. It really was never in peril. Another sluggish start, but the Rams really didn't have much to offer. In fact, they were running sort of a high school offense all day, but the Chiefs kind of refused to put them away. But it's a win in the National Football League. There really wasn't much stress in this game. There were some moments where the Chiefs were scratching their head about what the hell they were doing. But in the end, it's a National Football League win by 16 points, and you don't sneeze at that.
That's right, Danny. These are games where you have to take the good, because sometimes you get the bad. Remember the Colts game? Ugh. You know, but stuff happens, but the ball bounces certain ways, and it looked like there was a chance that could happen when you had a muffed punt to start the game and the Rams got the ball in Chiefs territory. There's their chance, right? New quarterback. What happens if they get a field goal and they have a good defense? What happens if they accidentally score a touchdown, lead 7-0, and Aaron Donald gets to say, I want to play and be a factor? And then you can make up a scenario where upset was on the mind. But as soon as the Rams basically drove backwards after getting that great gift of the muff, I just said over. I texted my guys and said, this one's over. There's just no way the Chiefs are going to lose, and that was the story of the day.
Yeah.
So not a lot, Danny, to break down or get ready for an evaluation. I mean, I'll go anywhere you want to, but this was just one of those games where these are pros. The Chiefs value the opportunities to have those 8 regular season games in Arrowhead. I thought the crowd was great. You know, they want to put on a professional level, but I talk to you often about how they are kind of in a numb state. Like running a marathon, you know, what do you think in mile 12 of a marathon? I just think you're probably just cruising along. You're not trying to burn that mile, right? I mean, it's not like, oh boy, I'm going to really sprint in this mile. You just keep going. And that's what NFL players do. They kind of bring it, and there's very few things that make them rise up to another focus or drop down. Division games create focus. We talk about that. When your back's to the wall, like the Chargers were last week, against the Chiefs, they're going to give you a better performance. But generally, you go out and play with a concentration level. You're not nervous. You're not fired up. You're a pro, and you go out and do a workmanlike effort. This game, Chiefs wanted to do that, but they knew they were going to win. Mm-hmm. So I thought the offensive line probably was fired up to block Aaron Donald and not let him become a factor. I'm one who doesn't believe that defensive tackles are factors that often. Chris Jones will pop once in a while. Aaron Donald will pop once in a while, but they do not set the tone of a game. A great quarterback. Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL as voted by his peers. You know, each year he's in the top 3 of the best players. But guess what? Defensive tackles don't win games. He was a complete non-factor in the game. Chiefs ran up the middle. They may have blocked a double team on Aaron Donald to help get the run, but they were able to run right up the middle. So he was not going to dominate the game. Chiefs line might have been fired up, but overall, just a workmanlike effort with little footnotes of, wow, that's the 3rd punt drop we've seen from one player, so that's worth noting. And then Patrick Mahomes throws maybe close to his worst pass ever, a pass that you or I could have caught in the end zone, Danny, when he
and he could have walked in for a touchdown, too.
Yeah, exactly. And he just flicked the ball right in the middle of the guy's chest. Love how Patrick Mahomes breaks things down. He has been so good. His career has been so good that he goes to the podium without coach speak. He goes to the podium and tells it like it is. It's so refreshing to hear him. I don't know if he'll be able to do that his whole career, Danny, if there is ever some criticism about him. But right now, he's lived a charmed life. He gets up there, explains exactly what he's looking at, exactly what he was starting to do and starting to throw, and says, I threw this guy the easiest pass ever, a little lollipop right in the middle of his chest. You know, that's on me. And then he said, I make one mistake a game or 2 that just pop out of nowhere. That's what I got to clean up. This guy is good. He understands. You know, one of the things that keeps being talked about by Andy Reid is how smart Patrick Mahomes is. And there's an example. His ability to self-evaluate and explain what he's thinking and what he needs to do better is pretty amazing, Danny. He's a great quarterback, but a great mind, knowing if he just cut out that little mistake here or there, how much better could he be? But he also stated, which I think is relevant, he thinks that they're better because they distribute the ball around. That's more about him than the receivers or the, Brett Veach bringing in the right guys or anything like that. Tyreek Hill can still be dominant, but Patrick Mahomes has taken his game up so much that without Tyreek there, he'd had to adjust and become a better quarterback from the pocket, and he's done exactly that. So Chiefs win, still the best team in the NFL, still the best record in the AFC. What more could you want than that, Danny?
Let's talk a little bit about that interception, because I thought there was a little bit of karma there. The Chiefs were 1 of 6 in the red zone and scoring touchdowns, and they were seemingly in the red zone for about an hour there around a Rams turnover after they stopped him one time on the interception. And I don't believe really in karma, but after the Chiefs ran that stupid throwback double reverse from the 6-yard line, the next play was an interception. I was like, well, you kind of deserve that.
I have no problem with that, Danny. I think the football karma stuff's okay to talk about. You know, hey, uniforms and everything else. I'm into all of that. So, yeah, that was crazy. But, you know, why do it? I don't know. I guess they're just having fun. And
I thought it was. I thought it was borderline disrespectful to the opponent. I mean,
I have no problem with that. I hadn't thought of it that way, Danny. But we just. We got this game in hand. Yeah. We do some funky stuff. Why don't we throw this one out there? You know, I will say this though about the NFL, the competitiveness of parity football that is the NFL, and the quickness with which you can turn things around because these teams are, even the bad teams are really not that bad.
Right.
How about the Rams versus Chiefs going into the season, Danny? If I told you, the NFL schedule came out, and let's go over it, which I definitely did. We may have talked about Danny on the podcast. I don't know. But one of the things we would have said is feature game of the whole year that I see, Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's
right.
That's big-time ball right there, okay? But secondly, I don't know if you can come up with a bigger game than Super Bowl defending champion L.A. Rams on the road at AFC Power Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium in November, around Thanksgiving time. What would be at stake? Remember, these teams, when they rotate, the Rams only come to Kansas City once every 8 years, Danny. There's a 17th game now that might change the math on that. I get that. But really, it's one out of every 8 years. You got the Rams in town, Super Bowl defending champions. This game should have been the second best game of the whole NFL schedule. And could there be a more dud? Like
it was the biggest point spread in the NFL this year.
And the poor quarterback,
oh my God,
from Virginia, Bryce Perkins, looks like he should be playing for Virginia. Okay, I mean, it was sometimes these NFL quarterbacks. You mentioned this on the weekend when we were together doing college football game day in a studio at Sports Radio 810, that NFL players don't necessarily just go to the certain schools, you know, the big schools. NFL players are playing all over the place, and these guys are great at finding them and putting them in. So usually when a backup quarterback walks out there, even if you've never heard of them, they usually function at a pretty decent level, right? I mean, you know, the Jets put out Mike White or whatever, he throws for 300 yards.
Right.
You can have a fired up game. You can be so focused. You're fresh. You're willing to run. They're going to call plays differently. The team's going to rally around you. You know all the reasons why a backup quarterback might make a difference. This guy looked like he should be at Virginia. I texted my
maybe not. My he looks, maybe he looks like he should have been at VMI.
Virginia. Texted my buddies and I go, you know, I think Georgia would be play a better game against the Chiefs today than the Rams are playing. I mean, these guys, you know, that's unfair to say because they're pros and
right.
They, can talk
and they the probably wouldn't, but yeah.
But
I
that
get
quarterback,
the point.
That quarterback running back wide receiver combination, Danny. Whoa. You know I say this often, so if anybody who listens to us a lot knows I like to go to the danger factor. Like, how dangerous is this team when they play really well? Well, how about when they play the Cincinnati Bengals? Super dangerous, okay? Mm-hmm. The Bengals can play as well as anybody in the NFL on one given day. The danger factor for the Rams hardly even moved on the Richter scale. I mean,
right.
It's like a 0.1. There's just the muffed punt is like, well, maybe this could be a game. And as soon as they got stopped, go, no. And I text my buddies, go, this is over. I watched the whole thing, Danny. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, I was watching other games at the same time. Because, hey, I'm not discrediting the Chiefs win. Not at all. But the Rams just weren't ready for prime time. They had no – the odds of them winning were so low throughout the whole game. They need Aaron Donald to have 2 strip sacks that bounced right to the Rams and returned all the way to the end zone. Not got stopped at the 3 because they would have kicked the field goal. I mean, they needed all those things to happen. So just a workmanlike effort for the Chiefs. I'm not here to criticize the Chiefs much on anything. You know, oh, boy, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. I don't think they had their A-game focus at all. Why would they? They knew they had that thing from start to finish.
And I'll give you one fun note that you'll like because there's a reference there. Chris Jones tried to – one of Perkins' only good plays was a rollout to the left, and he gained some yardage, and Chris Jones tried to chase him down. He couldn't catch him, and Chris Jones wears high tops now. And I said – poor Chris Jones, he's a great athlete, but he's a big man. He can't, you know, he looked like Johnny Unitas trying to chase down Bryce Perkins. And Curtis Siebold saw that, and he tweeted back, Well, he looked more like he was trying to chase down, that Johnny Unitas was trying to chase down Perkins' great uncle, Don Perkins of the Dallas Cowboys, who was a running back.
You know who Don Perkins is.
Absolutely. Dude. And he was a classy player. He was a very nice player. So he's the great uncle of Perkins. I think Don Perkins probably would have had a better day and given the Chiefs more
His dad was an NFL player too, but he's not ready quite. You know, Don Perkins, I think he wore number 43. How
yes,
about
he
that?
Did. Yes, he did. Absolutely.
You're just a little bit older than me, so you remember those Perkins days. I just know it historically, but I don't really remember him running the ball in a live game. I'm sure I watched it when I was younger, but I don't remember. But he was a big time back, Don Perkins, and a really helpful teammate. So that's a heck of a compliment. I thought you might. I didn't see your tweet, but I thought you might be saying Bobby Bell or something. You know, someone
right?
No, Bobby Bell.
But he couldn't catch Perkins. Yeah, Perkins is clearly a good athlete. But anyway, let's talk about
Bobby Bell. Would have caught him though. Bobby Bell was fast enough. He would have caught him.
He would have. He's faster than Chris Jones.
The historical focus and all kinds of fun plays and everything else is exactly what you got to do for the last 2 hours because you had to be. I'm telling you, you had to be a heck of a Chiefs fan to stay focused on that game. I kept it on my main TV. I was locked in, Danny, because I knew I was going to talk to you about it. But the fact was, I was pulled much more interestingly to watch the Raiders and the Chargers games going on at the same time, and the Niners game with the Saints. And the Chiefs had, from the best game, second best game in the NFL all year going into the season, to the fourth best game on a quiet 3 o'clock window. How about that? The Chiefs game was the least worth watching of four very average games.
Well, that certainly won't be the case next week. Chiefs versus Bengals on the road. Bengals obviously beat the Chiefs twice last year. We're not going to have any problem with Chiefs focus. Bengals seem to have found their form a little bit. Chase is supposed to be back, I think, in this particular game, or at least there's some talk of it. How about this one, Stan?
Well, this Bengal team is trying to find itself. I think they're going to end up being dangerous. It's hard to be a established program and be good year after year, okay? And they got a very young coach, and they hit everything right at the end of the last year. I think Joe Burrow is elite as a quarterback, Ja'Marr Chase, elite. And so they put it together at the end of last year and were really, really good. We were talking about that during the playoffs. But like the Rams, who fell off after winning the Super Bowl and are nothing like it, the Bengals had that risk because it's amazing how the Chiefs just stay good every year, like New England, Pittsburgh. It's amazing when you do that, Danny. Congratulations, Chiefs. We don't take it for granted. But can the Bengals be a team that's going to be a factor for more than that last year run? We didn't know. They started off 0-2. They had some struggles. But I thought that was a real prove-it game for them to go to Tennessee and get punched in the mouth. You remember the Chiefs game, right? Chiefs fans are very aware of how Tennessee is different, how they can stress you and hit you and make you make winning plays all day long, and it's never easy. And think about this. The Bengals went on the road and won the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. So impressive win. Like you said, good form. That's a really good set of words right there. The Bengals seem like they're in better form. All they're missing is their superstar wide receiver. And if Ja'Marr Chase is back, they have that. They match up well with Kansas City. They put stress on because what is the Bengals' biggest weakness, Danny? Protecting the quarterback. They have a real hard time protecting Joe Burrow, and he doesn't move in the pocket very well, partly his fault as well, okay? But that combination, how you beat the Bengals is don't let him throw the ball. Get a negative play for 7 or 8 yards. Force him to throw an incompletion just because you're at his ankles and he can't throw the ball, and that's how you stop the Bengals. What's the Chiefs' biggest weakness? They don't stress the quarterback that much. They do not sack quarterbacks that well. And that allows the Bengals to stand there a little extra second, and Joe Burrow can hurt the Chiefs downfield. Because if you give him time to throw, it's not anything against the Chiefs secondary, Danny. When he has time to throw, he cuts it up against anybody in the NFL. When I'm watching a Joe Burrow play on my HD TV, you can see the secondary some, but basically my focus is with the quarterback, right? If I see Joe Burrow throw the ball with confidence, set in the pocket, I assume it's a completion. Does that make sense? I mean,
yes, absolutely.
I assume it's like a 95% chance that ball is going to be complete. He throws the ball accurately, and he picks out the right receiver. Those guys go get 50-50 balls. So this is a big matchup issue. This game is big in a regular season because you don't ever want to disrespect the fact that Buffalo might bounce back and be a high-record team, Danny, so you don't want to dump any games. But I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. Their schedule is so easy.
Yes.
When you look at their last
six games, yeah.
This is the only hard game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Chiefs are going to have the best record in the AFC, even if they lose to Cincinnati. But from the psychological point, it's time to beat them, right? Buffalo, let's think about that. Buffalo was up and coming, and we monitored that well. You and I talking about Buffalo growing and becoming a better football team and then becoming a real threat and a real great football team by the end of last year or this year. They beat the Chiefs in regular season last year, but what did the Chiefs do? Won in the big game, the playoff game. So even though Buffalo came back and won this regular season game, Danny, don't you think the psychology is just fine with Chiefs versus Buffalo? They're like, no, we win when it matters. You win some early regular season games, but we're going to get you in the playoffs. Don't you think the Bills players sit there and go, wow, Chiefs are going to be hard to beat, and the Chiefs think they're going to win? Buffalo doesn't think they're going to come in and beat the Chiefs. That's not the psychological point. But if Cincinnati wins last year's playoff game and matches two regular season games around it, Danny, I think it's different. And I think these matchups do matter, that doubt factor, that confidence level. What a boost of confidence it'll be to the Bengals if they can beat the Chiefs for the third time in a row and go, we are finding our form, like you said, Danny. We just went on the road and beat Tennessee and backed it up with a win over Kansas City. Don't you think the Bengals become very dangerous down the stretch and in the playoffs? So I think this is a big regular season game, not for seeding in the playoffs, because I think the Chiefs' regular season is so easy that I think they're going to win all but this game. I can't even make up a way of dumping in another game. Can you?
No, not really.
Houston, Raiders, forget who I'm missing, and Cincinnati. The Chiefs got such an easy road. I think they're going to have the best record in the AFC. But I think this game does matter because matchups matter. Danny, you and I were Dallas Cowboy fans at one point. Hey, you know who Don Perkins is. You've seen him play.
Right.
And I know his number. Okay? But think about the 70s. Cowboys were awesome and established. But the Pittsburgh Steelers were also up and coming and then established. But what happened when those two teams met each other, Danny? You know the story. Even though they each could argue that they were the best team in the NFL or that year's Super Bowl champion or the best team of the 70s, whatever argument you wanted, Danny, that could all happen. And when those teams would meet in the regular season or in the playoffs, guess what would happen? Pittsburgh found a way to win almost every single time. It was like 75% chance. These two teams are even. Yet the Pittsburgh Steelers always beat the Dallas Cowboys. There was something about it. Pittsburgh knew they were going to win, and Dallas doubted themselves. I'm not building Cincinnati up to the level of the Pittsburgh Steelers or Dallas Cowboys of the 70s, but I think they are as dangerous a team as there is in the NFL. I match them right there with Buffalo. When Joe Burrow isn't getting sacked, I think Cincinnati's as good as Buffalo. How about that? I believe that. And so I think this game's big for the Chiefs to really – set the tone that, hey, Cincinnati, you're just another good team. We're going to have a little back and forth. You got us last time in the playoffs, but we're the big dogs here. So I think it's a big regular season game, Danny. Just unlike what the Rams threw out there with their 17th string quarterback. I texted my buddies, Danny. How about this one? This is a buddy's comment, okay? Only from friends. You tweet to all your friends. I text only a few, but I'm announcing it as if I'm tweeting it, okay? So I tweeted in the first quarter about the Rams quarterback. So I'm sitting there watching him play, and I am just – I can't believe how bad he is. And so I said, you know what? I went to one of my buddies. You didn't see me play in college. I think I could play as well as this guy. And then I put in the next sentence, and I'm not sure if I meant when I was in college or now. And that's how I finished it.
Wow. Stan Weber, very funny, sir. That is great stuff. That's pro football. In a nutshell right there, let's talk some college football coming up next as Kansas State is in the Big 12 title game. That should be fun. And Missouri and Kansas look ahead to bowl games in sort of different states right now. We'll talk about that coming up next on Danny and Stan's Football Weekend. It's brought to you by ASFCA.
More of Danny's Reasonably Irreverent podcast after this.
Glad to be back again with Dr. Brad Woodall from Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture. And my wife is feeling so much better as far as her neuropathy, and it's due to the various treatments she gets here at ASFCA. It's a great success story.
I'm so glad that she had great results within these first few weeks. We see that often. We have some state-of-the-art tools beyond chiropractic and acupuncture, utilizing things such as cold lasers, red light therapies, in our brand new trifecta bed. How it works is we assess the patient, get to know everything that's going on, and we take the right steps to figure out the cause and how to best treat it. There's many forms and causes of neuropathy, and based on that, we customize the right treatment plan for them, and the results come.
Have the same success with your treatment at Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture, and learn more at asfca.com/Danny. Welcome to a fantastic way to make a great improvement in your lifestyle. Expert, caring, and relaxing massage therapy from Nina Bryant and Healing Frequency Massage. Nina brings a medical background and a passionate zeal for healing and creating a wonderfully calming and relaxing experience. If you have chronic aches and pains, anxieties from the stresses of the modern world, or you're just plain seeking to feel better, Healing Frequency Massage can do for you what it does for me. I've always enjoyed an occasional massage, but was never overly fired up about it. That has all changed. Nina's caring and exacting approach will make you want to stay on the table forever. She will craft a plan tailor-made for you. All you have to do is reach out at healingfrequencymassage@gmail.com or call 816-988-1654. That's healingfrequencymassage.com or 816-988-1654. Why wait?
Hey, Kansas City, Joe Spiker, Easton Roofing here. This happens all the time. I had a homeowner call me because a roofing company talked him into submitting a claim for hail damage. The claim was not denied, but all the insurance paid for was cosmetic damage to the roof. Of course, there was no damage to the roof that mattered. The roofing company was just doing what most do, turn it in and hope to get lucky, with no thought to the consequences they leave behind for the homeowner. The homeowner asked me what to do, and unfortunately, he was stuck paying his deductible for a bunch of unnecessary repairs. Because if he doesn't get it fixed, the insurance won't cover his roof anymore. Turning in an insurance claim is not something to do willy-nilly. It is a serious procedure that requires serious people to help you through the process. That's why you should never turn in an insurance claim without having Easton Roofing take a look first, for free, and keep you from filing erroneous insurance claims that can hurt you in the end. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
If you'd like to join these and other great sponsors and market your business to a growing and engaged audience, contact us at danny@dannyklinkscale.com. Look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back, and big game time on Saturday for the Kansas State Wildcats as they will play in the Big 12 championship game at Jerry World. First time playing the title game there. Of course, they won the title in 2012 when there was no title game, and they play TCU, and both of these teams got to be feeling great about themselves, Stan. K-State, Kansas was feisty for a while, but K-State had complete control against the Jayhawks and shut them down offensively in the second half, and TCU just absolutely dismantled Iowa State and made them look like a team that didn't care, which is very unusual for their team. So two teams that had a great game earlier this year when Will Howard had them well up in the game before TCU rallied. This is a fascinating matchup.
It really is. And College Game Day, which tries to find themselves the best game at this time of year, is actually going to be there at that game, Danny. So it has the most intrigue because Purdue versus Michigan just doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. LSU getting beat by Texas A&M doesn't carry a lot of cachet going against Georgia. Anything can happen. But when you talk about an even game, and the Pac-12 game is going to be fine because I've been saying for a long time that Utah is really good and they get a chance to play USC. So that game is legitimate, but it's a Friday night game. It's kind of a little bit of an afterthought. There will be plenty of people who wake up on Saturday morning thinking about what kind of football they're going to watch who may not even realize that the Pac-12 played their game on Friday night, right? I mean, it just kind of slides on through. So this game does become big. I think the teams are very, very even. You've got to give TCU a ton of credit. They're undefeated. They're 12-0. That means they know how to win close games. K-State has the three losses. You can't say, oh, they're exactly the same. But if I took that statement away, that TCU is undefeated, in all respect in the world, I think they're as good as everybody in the country, Danny. They can compete with anybody except for Georgia. Georgia may be an elite team, but in the college football playoff world, I'm not sure Michigan's that much different than other good teams like TCU. I know Ohio State isn't. They got whipped at home. They played bad against Maryland last week. A few weeks ago, they played bad against Northwestern. they just get all the credit because they got a lot of NFL guys, right? And they are Ohio State. But they're not that great. So TCU deserves to be in a college football playoff, no doubt about it. If they win, I give them all the respect in the world for finding a 12-0 record. But when I match K-State up, Danny, just like the last game, when K-State led by 18, I think K-State is every bit as good as TCU, unless TCU just knows how to win close games at the end. I'll give them that. But until proven otherwise, I think K-State has no worse than a 40% chance of winning and up to a 50% chance of winning. This could be a toss-up game. Here's what I say about K-State. They're good at everything, not great at anything, other than Deuce Vaughn can fill in the gaps. Whatever game they need, whatever they need from him, he becomes a factor to make K-State a championship-level team. And for TCU, they're kind of the same way. They're good at everything, but they have one other statement. They're great in the deep passing game. We just talked about the Cincinnati Bengals and what they do differently, putting the ball downfield. TCU does that, Danny. They have the explosiveness. Max Duggan has played at a level that he should be discussed in the Heisman Trophy candidacy world, and he wasn't even a starter at the beginning of the year. Chandler Morris was a starter. He struggled against Colorado, and here came in Max Duggan to put in a great season. So Max Duggan, in his senior year, been around TCU a long time, is playing at a high level. But the difference about TCU than other teams, Quentin Johnston, 6'4", highly recruited, tall, fast wide receiver. Darius Davis and Tay Barber, these guys are in their fifth year of eligibility. They are so fast. So the deep ball capability, the big play tape capability of TCU, and even running back Kendre Miller, that's the difference. K-State does not have the big play capability that TCU does. If K-State can keep the top on and doesn't allow those 40, 50, 70-yard touchdowns, then the game becomes very, very even. So just like you saw in the first game, it was too much of a rocky fight, right? I mean, it was like K-State knocked them across the ring in the first half, and then TCU knocked K-State across the ring in the second half. At the end of the day, it didn't have the drama of going back and forth. I hope this game carries all the drama that it deserves, Danny. This is high-level football, very even, should be high-scoring, but I'd much rather see the fans around the country watch Big 12 football and see it go 7-0, 7-3, 10-7, you know, that kind of thing, right? Back and forth and back and forth. It doesn't matter if we stop at 45 points or 30 points. It's going to be high scoring, but as long as it goes back and forth, the drama is going to be great. These are two really good teams that match up very evenly with each other. So from an underdog point of view, Danny, got to feel really good. This is not like when you played some of the best Alabama teams, or if we were getting ready for – remember a long, long time ago, you and I spoke about years where Missouri was really good, but they went against Oklahoma. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And what did I predict in both those championship games? Oklahoma wins. Just Oklahoma, the whole process of knowing how to get from Norman to AT&T Stadium, the hype, the media, you know, just being experienced at being in this game and playing at a high level has allowed Oklahoma to beat Iowa State recently. Iowa State was first, Oklahoma second a few years ago, Danny, and Oklahoma won. Oklahoma and TCU, Oklahoma won. Back when Missouri was good, Oklahoma would win, even though Missouri might have been better. K-State's not playing Oklahoma.
Right.
They're not playing Alabama. They're playing a team just like them that's new. Now, my wife asked a great question. She goes, isn't TCU right next to AT&T Stadium? I said, yeah, about 25 miles. So it appears like you're going to play a road game. But, Danny, you know right. that TCU is a smaller university, does not have nearly as many graduates, and you know how K-State fans are going to travel and the kind of people that – a ton of K-Staters go to Texas to live in a Dallas-Fort Worth area, even to Houston. This is going to be an equal crowd, I bet. I think there's going to be just as many K-State players as fans as there are going to be TCU. And that kind of environment, both teams being new to it, both teams really wanting to win, everything appears even except for that one little piece that Todd Lebo would point out. Doesn't it always work that when you have a conference championship in the Big 12, the team that should win gets blown up and misses a college football playoff opportunity? That's another advantage for K-State. If just the football karma that you talked about, Danny, wouldn't it just be appropriate that TCU lost after they had the college football playoff? If they just sit at home, they'd be a part of the college football playoff, then they lose to K-State? Here we go. Now, it's from a football standpoint, dead even game. These two teams match up really, really well. K-State play them 10 times. I'm telling you, they'd win five of them, Danny. K-State is just as good as TCU. I believe, even though K-State lost to Tulane and to Texas. I get it. But maybe there's some winning that TCU can do. But otherwise, I play this game out multiple times in my head, and I've already played it. I keep coming out even teams.
2.5-point favorites are TCU in this game. Let's move to the Tigers and the Jayhawks for a little bit. They both have bowl games coming up. Real bad news for Missouri today, as ESPN is confirming that they have sources that say that Dominique Lovett is going to enter the transfer portal, and that portal opens on December 5th, so I assume he's not playing in the bowl game if he's going to do that. That's a big loss. You've touted this guy for a long, long time. Maybe he doesn't like the fact that it appears that Luther Burden is going to be the focus of things. I don't know what his motivation is, but that's a big loss for not just now, but the future.
Yeah, both. The now part of it just is kind of the ugliness that I do not agree with, Danny. It's okay. I'm not an old school so much that I don't think guys should transfer and be eligible right away. I can kind of – NIL, I'm okay with that. Transfer freely, I'm okay with that. What I am not okay with is quitting before the season's over. Okay, the NFL has free agency, but guys can't just say down the stretch, ooh, I don't want to get hurt. I think I'll be worth more next year. I'm opting out for the last three regular season games, right? They're under contract, and they've got to play. These guys in college football really are under a contract that's called a scholarship, but no college will call them out on it. They should call Dominique Lovett back and say, you owe us $25,000 right now. Because you got a semester worth of schooling and all this free clothing and food and everything else. But, okay, so I do not like this at all. If he doesn't play in a bowl game or any of these players who opt out, I do not buy in with all the national media guys who are NFL exes, right? They're going, I can understand why he doesn't want to get hurt. But I always ask, if you don't want to get hurt in the bowl game, Danny, why don't you want to get hurt in the last games like week 9, 10, 11, and 12, right? I mean – You should sign up and play. So that's number one. I'll get off the soapbox. Now, strategically, we're in an environment now with free transfers that you can talk about recruiting services and five-star recruits and all of that, but that is not really the story, Danny. It's what do you do in a transfer portal and what do you do recruiting your own players and keeping them out of the transfer portal? And it's very legitimate to talk about this because don't you think Eli Drinkwitz right now, from a evaluation of his head coaching, one of the things that you put in the positive column is he's done a great job of recruiting. He's put together recruiting classes coming up next year, rated very high. You got Sam Horn to come in as a star quarterback from Georgia. He got Luther Burden, a five-star, as good as there is, to come into Mizzou. He is getting credited with great high school recruiting or junior college recruiting initial signings. But that's not the story now, Danny. It's just as much keeping your guys. And we may be turning around and saying Eli Drinkwitz is a below-average recruiter. If he loses guys like Dominique Lovett, then you cannot look at the initial recruiting and talk about a coach being a great coach in his roster management, right? Keeping your players happy. So I think this is a giant loss. And I have to say, Danny, you mentioned you started this podcast with talking about karma, about an interception after just a funky play that you should never call that's almost disrespectful to your opponent, right? Remember that karma stuff? Well, here's my karma. I believe when Missouri started this season that Eli Drinkwitz, as the head coach and leader of Missouri football, bought in, just like the fans, into the idea that Luther Burden was a special talent and we got to get him the ball. We got to integrate him into it. And I thought they force-fed him at the beginning of the year to support to other recruits, possibly, hey, you come here, we're going to get you the ball. We're going to get you the ball. We're going to make you a star. We're going to get you to the NFL. That's just building on further recruiting, right? And I thought it was the exact wrong focus. So to me, the karma is Dominique Lovett is the guy who worked and developed and is a superstar. And Luther Burden should work and develop, and he will become a superstar, okay? I'm not down on Luther Burden, but I thought they played this thing exactly wrong. I think it affected their early season football team. I do. And I think there's more going on. If you go look at where the sausage is made, Danny, there are a lot more issues at Missouri of real belief by the team. And you got your best player. In my mind, Dominique Lovett is the best Missouri player, and he's leaving. And the karma, I believe, is legitimate. they paid way too much attention and hugged up old Luther. And what they should have done is they should have hugged up Dominic Lovett and said, Luther, run every route in the line after Dominic does. Okay? Every practice, every, you know, when you quarterback throwing drills, Danny, you do it at practice all the time. They should have had Luther Burden behind Dominic Lovett in every drill and say, learn from that guy right there. Learn from that guy. He was you before, and you're going to be him. But I don't think that's the way Missouri play it. You can call me out, Danny, on this, but I think their lead card was Burden, and Lovett was a secondary part of it, and that was totally backwards, and now they're paying for it.
Very interesting. Now let's get to the game at 7. This is very similar for both programs, Kansas and Missouri, Stan. We don't know where they're going to play yet. There's some reports out there, but especially at the lower level, there's just no real way to tell, and we'll find out in due time who each team's going to play. But for both teams, a winning record is on the line. A 500 record for his career at Missouri for Eli Drinkwitz is on the line. I mean, these are big bowl games. Kansas limped down the stretch. Missouri played better down the stretch, but they would not have the exclamation point. For both programs, this bowl game, however, you know, minor it's going to be and whatever funny name it's going to have, will be important for these programs.
Yeah, I think, and maybe it's too old school, Danny, but I do truly value winning bowl games. You get extra practice for earning the bowl. That's worth its weight in gold. Because when you put up your cleats and no one's talking about you in the month of December when football's on fire, both pro and college, and you're not even in a sentence, that is painful. That is damaging to the program. You need people to talk about your football team generally, put out articles, be on the radio, whatever. And all you got to do is be in a bowl game. Plus, you get 15 extra practices. I think they're the most valuable 15 practices of the year because you're in football mode. In the spring, Danny, you're in spring break mode, and the coaches want to play football. The players are like, yeah, whatever. I hope I don't get hurt. They opt out in spring ball, players. Opt out in spring ball. But now they're in a groove, man. They are – all the players are loving playing football. They get a little rest. They don't have an opponent for a few days, so they get to work on skills. You can work with the younger players. This 15 days vaults programs, Danny, I believe, because you don't get to wear pads that often in football. This is awesome. So congratulations, Kansas and Missouri, who had their backs to the wall. They may think it's normal, but they were at risk this year. 2022, they beat Arkansas. Impressive game. Brady Cook played well, and they get all of that. But if you win the bowl game, Danny, you launch an enthusiasm throughout your program. Don't you think extra money is important now in football as much as ever? Because guess what? The donors are being asked to build these beautiful football facilities, right? Redo stadiums and pay the players. This is all discretionary money. Where is this money going to come from? It only comes from enthusiasm of the boosters, where they dig deep in their pocket. You can't beg them to give money. They got to want to give money. And you know how you do that? Win a bowl game. Create that kind of excitement level. Because once you play good in a bowl game, no one thinks you're not going to win a game if you had a game in January, February, March, or April. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What have you done for me lately? We beat that team, and it's a legitimate game against a real conference. So I love playing bowls hard. I love winning them, and that's all positive. But I do think something's completely different, Danny. So go along with me on this. Let's assume you're standing on a plank of wood, and you're going to take one step forward after this bowl game. You got one more game. You're going to take one step forward. Well, for Kansas, that plank of wood is on a cement driveway. And if they step off and lose the game, they're just no big deal, right? I mean, Kansas has nothing to lose, Danny. Tons of positives, but nothing to lose. There's no way you put a black mark in the schedule. No one's going to be quoting like you did, Danny. Oh, they lost 6 of their last 7 or 7 of their last 8 to finish year. No one's going to say that next February when we're talking about KU football. We're going to talk about those 6 wins and what they did. So they have nothing to lose and a ton to gain if they win the bowl game. Missouri on the other side, it's quicksand. If they lose a bowl game and Eli Drinkwitz posts a losing record of 6-7, loses the bowl game just like he did to Army last year, has players like Lovett transferring, and just the up-and-down season they have, he has the support of the university. Missouri fans will bounce back, but I think there's some downside, Danny. The players, their attitudes in January, February, and March, which are important, I think are not going to be positive. I don't think you can spin this season and go back and go, hey, well, we beat Arkansas, an important game on that Friday. you think anybody's going to remember the Arkansas game if Missouri loses their bowl game? I don't. I think you're going to look around, and people like us are going to be saying, Danny, do you know what Eli Drinkwitz's record is in his tenure in 3 years at Mizzou? Below 500?
Yeah, two games under 500 it'll be if they lose.
So I think Missouri's got a lot to play for. I think they're playing good football. I think that they should really show out with their offense doing a little bit better, a little more confidence in Brady Cook. The practice for the young players like Sam Horn, the quarterback that Missouri fans hope to see and believe is going to be great, that's fine. This is going to be good. Congratulations. A solid big-time win over Arkansas when it looked like it could be lost. It looked like Arkansas was going to win the game at times, but Missouri found a way with a better team. And I think they're on an uptick, but they got to win this bowl game. The question, Danny, is there any chance that they play each other? Whoa. Now, that would be something if in the Liberty. We'll know next Sunday.
Yeah. I don't think.
You know, the guy who gets to decide, Greg Sankey gets to decide, the SEC commissioner. He's the guy who will get to decide, Danny, because the SEC doesn't allow the Bulls to pick. They kind of say, here's the team we're giving you for this bowl. And is Missouri's administration calling Greg Sankey today and going, please don't line us up with Kansas? What do you think?
I don't think either team really probably wants to play. But, yes, the downside, I agree, in that scenario is bigger for Missouri than it is for Kansas. So we'll see. As we said, it will wait till next Sunday to find that out. Stan, always great stuff, as usual. We broke it down in depth. Well, mostly you did, but that's why we have you here. Stan, we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Danny, I listened to you very closely when you talk, and you said we will talk next week. So I heard you're going on vacation.
Right, but I'll be back.
I know you're not available on Saturday for WHB. Are we on next week for Monday or Tuesday?
We are on for Monday, Stan. I'll be here on Monday.
Darn, I thought you were going to go on a three-week vacation or something, Danny.
No.
Darn it.
Next, the following week, maybe not so much. We'll talk about that then. All right, Stan.
Danny, I hope you have a podcast. I know you have a lot of intricate-level podcasts about different subjects, Danny. You do a great job of that. What about Danny and his vacations? Because, man, you've been putting on a show in 2022. You and Jane are doing a good job. No COVID for you, man. Yeah, you're out and running.
Right. Well, she's got me beat because her sister had a slot, and she's going to Puerto Vallarta two consecutive months. So she's got.
Let's go, Jane. Let's go, Jane.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll talk to you next week, Danny, because Cincinnati versus Kansas City in football is big time. Can't wait to talk about it.
We hope you enjoyed the latest Danny Klingscale Reasonably Irreverent podcast. Come back soon for something fresh and new. This podcast was made possible by our great sponsors like
Healing Frequency Massage, expert caring and personal therapy for the body and mind. Contact Nina Bryant at healingfrequencymassage@gmail.com or call 816-988-1654.